You're listening to Colchonero Chat, the only weekly English language podcast on Atletico Madrid and a part of Into the Calderon, the SB Nation home for all things Atletico. I'm Jeremy Barron. My guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat is Spanish football writer and podcaster Jack Benson. Jack Benson is the guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat. Jack is here to talk about Atletico's win over Osasuna on Kids Day, Saturday, where a rotated Atleti strolled to victory over La Liga's bottom side in preparation for Tuesday's game in England against Leicester City. We'll talk all about Osasuna and the rotations contained therein, and we'll also preview the second leg against the Foxes. All that and a lot more after this.
Yeah, what about you? You've been good?
Yeah, I've been really busy. School's wrapping up, so I'm trying to get through the next couple weeks. I'm moving to a new place in the next 6 weeks or so. I'm starting to get that process underway and finishing up school, doing a lot of writing, and yeah, I've just been busy.
Stressful times.
Yeah, I'm trying to handle it though. You know, it's tough, but I'm trying to handle it. You know,
keeping it on top.
Yeah. Yeah, trying to stay on top of everything. All right, so let's start with this game. And yeah, 3-0 to Atletico. I was a bit surprised by this. A couple things surprised me. Number one, the rotations. I didn't think Simeone would rotate nearly as much as he did. He made 5 changes from the side that beat Leicester on Wednesday. Number two, Cherchi played. The Cherchi train left the station. I think we have to start there. We have to start there.
Oh, yeah. The only thing that could have made this better, like, the only thing to have topped this narrative off is would have been if he would have scored one of the 2 penalties.
He should have taken one of them, my God.
Yeah, the fact that he wasn't even able to take one of them was more upsetting.
Than the misses.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, you know, he didn't exactly do a lot and the game was already over, but considering just how much he's been frozen out, the fact that he still went on and kind of played for the shirt was something.
He did, and Simeone said after the game that he'd worked really hard, and he earned this opportunity, which is, you know, a couple of years ago, we weren't saying that about him. He wasn't doing anything.
You know, he hasn't given up.
Yeah.
Which is something. You know, a lot of footballers in the modern day are very heavily criticized for, you know, being happy to sit on the bench and make money and whatnot. But, you know, he has worked, and you could tell that he wasn't happy when he was being frozen out of the squad and whatnot.
No, he went to go take pictures while he was shopping one Sunday while Atletico were playing. That's how he made up for it.
I mean, it's become a bit of a joke, and the fact that he was very close to coming on last week in the derby. I wasn't sure whether I should laugh or cry at that point.
the fact that we had this
joke of a player from the past few years being prepared to come on in the derby when we're chasing the game. but credit to him, because it's not like he came on and did anything glaringly bad.
No, he didn't. He actually had a cross. He darted his way into the box, I think, with 5 or 7 minutes to go. He had a cross that was blocked, and I was so angry because that cross was like going toward goal. That cross was going right in front of Sirigu, and I'm like, why did you block his cross? And then he had another run that Correa got in the way of, and I'm like, Angel, move. Don't stop the Cherchi train.
Let's put it this way. you have someone like Cherchi coming on, and it's a bit of a laugh, and it's funny, but he's still, you know, he can kind of make things happen, albeit
sort of
when he's offside or running into his own teammate. But to put it into perspective, Andre Gomez is currently playing for Barcelona.
Ouch.
So, you know, and I mean, I'm quite a, like, personally, I do like Andre Gomez. When he played for Valencia, this Barcelona move has been disastrous for him.
Yeah, it really has.
That kind of puts things into perspective, you know.
It does. And, you know, as much of a meme as Cherchi has become, especially on our site, you know, it's you know, the fans really wanted to see him, and they saw him, and he should have taken that second penalty. I get the first one, because you want Carrasco to get his hat trick. And Sarigu did make a really, really good save on it. The second one, though, yeah, not as much. He should have taken the second
one. I was really surprised that Thomas actually stepped up.
Yeah, that was weird.
To take the penalty. He's taken a penalty before. At least I can't remember him taking.
Me neither. Not in any of the shootouts they've been in. Not in any of the Copa games.
It really took me by surprise. But I mean, he did have a very good game.
You could
see that he was feeling confident enough in himself to step up. And actually, it wasn't a badly struck penalty. It was a good save from Sarigu once again. But just penalties, man. I mean, I'm just hoping that we can do enough midweek, so we, you know, it doesn't end up going to penalties. Otherwise, I will be seriously worried.
Yeah, as long as we don't lose 1-0 in 90 minutes, then we should avoid that. But yeah, I was thinking about this earlier. Atletico missed 8 penalties out of 13 this season, which is a horrible ratio. Griezmann himself has missed 3, but I was thinking how many of those penalties have actually hurt Atletico. I think the only one is Gamero in the Copa del Rey semi at Barcelona. I think that's the only one that's really hurt them.
That's surprising.
Yeah, they've won all. They've missed their last 6 league penalties, and they've won all those games. It's really weird.
Okay. That's really strange.
And one Griezmann missed in the Champions League against Bayern, they were already up 1-0.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was thinking that not many of them have actually come back to hurt Atletico. It's very strange.
I mean, the thing is, it's not even like they've been missed and then a player has rebounded the ball and scored from that. Like, when players have missed, they've missed.
Yeah.
Like, missed.
Yeah.
So, that's really surprising. And I'm a little bit concerned that at some point that luck's going to run out.
Yeah.
Penalties will really come back from the dead and bite Atleti in the behind.
Yeah, not so much in La Liga. It's going to happen. It's going to happen in the Champions League, of course.
Yeah, and I definitely don't fancy a repeat of Milan anytime soon.
Yeah, no, thank you.
No.
So you mentioned Tomas earlier. He played really well, and he led the team in touches with 92, which was surprising to me. He got a lot of touches. He's not the Koke type of player to circulate the ball and kind of be the metronome, but he did pretty well today. And he was also really clean, really efficient in defense. He's just a really solid player.
Yeah, and actually one thing that stood out in particular for me from the game was his dribbling ability.
Yeah.
There was a moment, I think it was on the 81st minute, it was in the latter portion of the game, and Osasuna had just been attacking, and it must have been some sort of set piece or a corner or something along those lines, and the ball falls to Thomas on the edge of the area, and he kind of spins the on-rushing Osasuna player with the ball, and comes out cleanly. I mean, he clearly hurts the Osasuna player who spends the next few minutes on the floor.
Yeah.
But it was that, the way he did it with such fluidity, and then he released Carrasco. I mean, it wasn't a great pass, and okay, had he played the ball better, you know, there was a likely chance of us scoring on the counter. But actually, his movement with the ball is actually quite an underrated part of his game, I'd say. A lot of people, particularly who don't follow the club a lot, see Thomas as someone who's energetic but more of a kind of a destroyer type of player, someone a bit like Casemiro.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, I'd say he's energetic in the sense that he can get up and down the pitch and cover a lot of ground. He puts in a lot of tackles, but he can play the ball very well.
Yeah, and I've mentioned before about his athleticism. His ability on the ball has gotten a lot better, I think, just over this season. He's gotten a lot more comfortable on the ball. He's receiving it a lot more. His distribution, his range of passing isn't, you know, where is not at the level of an attacking player, because he's not a naturally attacking player, but he can still do a job, and he did really well today over 90 minutes. It afforded Saul to get the day off, which was important ahead of Tuesday. And Gabby was rested. Koke was suspended. So his performance was important, as was Josema. So I thought Josema was brilliant today. He was a beast.
Absolutely. And he is so much fun to watch in midfield.
He could be the perfect midfielder. If he weren't buried in the pecking order, he could be really, really good there. He's got all the tools.
Yeah. And actually, it wouldn't surprise me if Simeone does stick with Savic and Godin at the back and then occasionally throw in Lucas, it wouldn't surprise me if we were to see Hosanna kind of switch to becoming a per se natural midfielder. I think he's the most natural replacement to someone like Gabby or Thiago that we have in the squad.
Yeah, you don't need to spend a whole lot of money to get someone. You saw all his qualities today. He's big, he's strong, he's fast, he's physical, and he can cover so much ground in midfield and without much of a risk of making a boneheaded mistake like he does occasionally at center back.
Exactly. If he gives the ball away or makes a mistake in the middle of the park, yeah, okay, it's annoying and stupid.
Right.
But it doesn't hurt you as much as doing that in your own area or on the edge of your own box when the stakes are high and you're playing a top team. They will hurt you from that, and I think he's more of a Gabby or Thiago replacement than Koke and Saul ever will be.
Yeah, he's more natural because, than them at that.
Yeah, and I really do like him at central midfield. It's really good fun to watch, just because of how athletic and physical he is in there. And it's, as long as he keeps putting in performances like he has done the past few times he's played at central midfield, then I really wouldn't mind seeing him there, kind of on a more permanent basis.
Yeah, definitely. He did a little bit of everything today. He's not going to play against Espanyol though next week because he picked up the yellow card somewhat early in the game, but he still played really, really well. And yeah, that's going to be interesting to see how that develops over the summer. Of course, Atletico still have the transfer ban, and if it is held up, they're going to want to try to keep as many players as possible. But if it's not, it'd be interesting to see whether he will convert full-time to a midfield role, whether he will still play at center back every now and then, because they do still have to develop Lucas. Lucas also came into the team today, and the guy just does not make any mistakes back there. Lucas is just so composed and positionally sound. He never messes up.
It's kind of the opposite of Hosanna, really.
The exact opposite.
When you see Lucas in defense, you're kind of, you don't have this heart-wrenching feeling that something terrible is going to happen.
Yeah.
Unlike Hosanna.
By my count, Hosanna owes Oblak like 3 steak dinners just for this season. At least 3.
Wouldn't surprise me. But what about Lucas is his versatility, somewhat similar to Hosanna, who can shift seamlessly between centre back and central midfield, where Lucas can shift between hard defence or fullback. And when you have someone with Felipe Luis's quality, but when he's starting to kind of get on a bit now and you need to protect him as much as possible, being able to bring him off in the position that Simeone was in today, when the game was already won, with another tough game in midweek coming up, the fact that you are able to shift Lucas out to the left and it not affect his performance in any way is really key.
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned how versatile he is. He's going to be more of a center back as he develops, especially if Teo comes back to the club, which is that's a monster of its own now. What's going to happen with Teo? But Lucas is, yeah. You said it perfectly. You don't get that sinking in your stomach feeling when you see Lucas in the team because he doesn't screw up. Like, he doesn't go forward very much. He doesn't have to. He just does his thing back there. And he was really, really solid again today. And he's only 21. We have to remember that. He's still so young, and he can still grow so much.
It's really hard to believe that, you know, just how young some of these players are. I mean, Thomas is only 23.
Yeah.
Saul, 22.
Josema's 22.
Josema's 22 as well. you know, we've got a very, very young squad.
And the future really does look bright if a lot of them stay, which I think they will. And in next, at least for next season, however long Simeone stays, at least for next season, they're going to continue to develop. It's pretty exciting. And today, with all the rotations, you got to see some of that. Angel Correa also started. He's 22. He had a pretty good game. Could have scored a goal, but he did lay on Felipe's goal. He laid on an assist for Felipe for the third goal. Really nicely played ball as he dragged everyone toward the middle of the box and then just tossed it over to Felipe to score with his right foot.
Yeah, and it was a bloody gorgeous goal.
It was amazing. Dude is so confident.
Not many forwards would be able to score a goal of that quality. The way he was just so precise and yet so powerful with the finish.
He had a little bend on it too.
Into the bottom corner.
A little bend on it too. He is just so confident right now, scoring with the right foot.
Yeah, no better left back in the world at the moment.
Yeah, hard to argue that. I'm maybe a little biased, but I would totally agree. I mean, Felipe's
he's been great. If he's not the best, then he's certainly at least the most complete. There is nobody who offers you so much solidity at the back and this much going forward as well.
Yeah, if he's not the best, like how many players can you argue that are maybe better than him? Like Marcelo's a really good fullback, but he's not as good in defense as Felipe is.
No, exactly.
Yeah, and then that's what he offers.
Apart from that, the benchmark is set pretty high by those two. But Alexandro from Juve, but like you know, there's a considerable gap in the standards.
Yeah,
these two have just they're on a pedestal of their own, really.
And Felipe's 31, and he hasn't played like it very much this season. Goal and an assist for him today as he set up Carrasco's first goal. But Correa set up Felipe's goal, and I thought Correa played pretty well. It's been kind of a weird season for Angelito. At times there have been issues with where he's going to play. Positionally, he sometimes has played out on the right wing where he hasn't been good. Sometimes he's played as a forward where he's been better. He played all 90 minutes today for the first time in 6 months, so that's a good sign.
Absolutely. And I still stand by the statement that I made earlier on in the season where I think him being a centre forward is his best position.
Yeah, I agree.
Because of his movement. And we saw that today, like you said, that his ability to drag defenders out of position and then play the right pass, like we saw for Felipe's goal.
Yeah, it's a little like Carrasco. If his decision-making gets better, the sky is the limit. But I've seen quite a few people get kind of impatient with Correa this season. I don't think we're not near the point where it's time to cut bait with him. He still has so much potential. And he's a big part of this team, whether you like it or not. Whatever you make of his consistency, he's a big part of this team.
Exactly. Especially when you look at our forwards. Torres is 33. There's a few question marks as to whether he'll be there next season. I personally think he will be. He'll renew for another year at the new stadium. Then you've got Gamero, who, you know, he hasn't really lit the world on fire this season.
He's been every few weeks he does, but then he'll have a dry spell.
It's been very hot and cold.
Yeah,
and on and off, and every time he seems to get going, there's another setback, whether that's injury or poor run of form. So actually, apart from Griezmann, and then the youngsters, there isn't really another out and out forward. So I'm happy for Correa to still be given minutes as a forward, so long as Torres is still there and Gamero isn't really firing on all cylinders like we were kind of hoping at the start of the season.
Yeah, and Correa works better with someone like Torres. The Griezmann-Correa pairing, while like mouth-watering on paper, it doesn't really work because they're pretty similar players. Torres and Correa, like Torres and Griezmann, are pretty different players. They both have different objectives. They both do different things. Torres runs the channels, wins balls in the air, plays really close to the box. Griezmann, to a lesser degree, Correa, pop up all over the final third to play passes, to just take shots when they're given. Griezmann is a little more aggressive with this than Correa is, but this is why I think that this pairing worked today, is because they're pretty different players. And Torres, to his credit, I think he put in a better display than his last couple games. He wasn't good in the derby. He wasn't good midweek. He was pretty good today. A really good work rate. And you think he's going to start Tuesday?
It depends on the fitness of Gamero. I think if Gamero is fully fit, then I think he starts.
Yeah, that's fair.
Purely because I think with Huth being out and potentially Wes Morgan being out for Leicester as well, there isn't really so much of a need for kind of that physical presence, both kind of in holding the ball up and also aerially as well.
Yeah.
Whereas Gamero, I think he could, you know, with the scoreline only being 1-0, I think, well, Leicester don't really have a choice but to go out and attack Atleti.
Yeah.
And try and pin them back and control the ball and control the space. So that leaves Atleti playing on the counter, and I think that works better with Gamero than Torres.
Absolutely, I agree. It's a lot's going to depend on his fitness. He was training fully yesterday, Friday. He was training fully at the Calderon. Was not in the squad. I think that was due to rest. I think he's been given the all clear. I think he's good to go. But we'll see if he starts the. But on Saturday he was not in the squad, and the final rotation was Nico Gaitán. I thought Gaitán played extremely well. The last time you were on the podcast was when we did the year-end show in December, and I think it was you, me, and Carlo, and we were discussing how disappointing Gaitán has been, and 4 months later, that hasn't really changed, even though Gaitán himself isn't playing badly. He just hasn't been given a lot of opportunities. And today he got an opportunity, though, and he played really well.
He certainly took it in both hands. He provided an assist for Carrasco's second with a pretty gorgeous cross into the box. It was really nice, really pinpoint accuracy on the cross. And then actually, earlier on in the game, he played quite a deep cross from the right hand side, and it resulted in a good chance. But actually, his ability to kind of pick out people in the box is something that I don't feel like Atleti use enough.
Yeah.
When he has played. I mean, he was on his preferred side today. He was on his right-hand side with Carrasco on the left. And you could see that he was already more comfortable that way. I mean, yeah, okay, it wasn't exactly against the best opposition.
Right.
But you could see that he was getting involved in plays, and it certainly wasn't a bad performance by any stretch of the imagination. I would have just liked him to have been able to get his name on the score sheet to kind of solidify that performance.
Yeah, and it's been a tough season for him. I think there's a pretty good chance he's not going to be back in the team next season. I think he's going to be moved on this summer, especially if the transfer ban is overturned. It's been difficult for him because this isn't the system he thrives in. The more expansive system is the one he would have done well in, but it was too early in the season, too soon for him to really have the kind of fitness Cholo wanted him to have. So he was, pushed aside. And I guess his role is going to be just to, beat up on the lower rung teams, which, those are 3 points you have to get, especially with third place still being as close as it is. The Gaitán, he could still play a pretty important role over the next 6 weeks, but it's been tough for him because he was expected to have such a big role in this team. And while he hasn't been great, he hasn't been terrible. Just it's about the opportunities and about the system.
Exactly. And if there hadn't been such a high fee paid for him in the summer with all of the expectation, then you could have had sympathy for him. But this was a guy that brought a big price tag with him, and fans were expecting him to, okay, maybe not straight away start performing, because Simeone's system takes a long time to get used to and is very enthralling. But he's just kind of, he's let the season just kind of just go by without really contributing anything to it, whether that be good or bad.
Yeah.
It's just kind of completely bypassed him.
He hasn't been as dreadful as like Jackson or Vieto were. It's been a different kind of like abject. And he's out of the Argentina team now, so this certainly hasn't helped his international career. The thing is
that you can see that there's a spark there, a creative spark.
Clearly, yeah. You can see the talent.
You can see that he's a quality player. It's just he just doesn't fit in this team at all.
Like you were talking about Andre Gomez earlier, he's a fine midfielder, but doesn't fit at Barcelona. This is kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure what Atleti will. There are going to be teams interested in him this summer. I know Spurs were interested in him in the winter window, but Atleti weren't willing to let him go. They're not going to make $25 million off him again unless they sell him to China. But there are going to be teams that are interested in him, and he's going to be one to watch this summer. I think Atleti are going to move on from him. You know,
maybe
unfortunately,
he'll finally get that move to United.
Yeah, maybe he finally will. Although that probably won't help him either. If we're being honest. Yeah, those are the players rotated in, and Carrasco did all the damage pretty much, scoring goals on either side of halftime. The first goal was a great solo effort, just a brutal dribble outside the box and a cracking low shot. And then after halftime, that header from the Gaetan cross that was really well taken. And then he missed a penalty, but that's to be expected. Overall, really good day for Carrasco. Really good to see him get back on the score sheet.
Yeah, that was his first goal since against Sporting.
Yep.
Back in mid-February. It was really key for his confidence. I mean, the past few weeks, he hasn't exactly been bad. You know, he's contributed a lot to the team in his dribbling and getting up and down the wing, particularly the Madrid derby, when he looked kind of lively, but there was just something missing from him. And what was missing, we found that today.
Yeah,
which was goals.
This was a really good day for him to score too, because obviously with the game midweek, and it could be a very different game from the one we saw Wednesday. But before we move on to that, I mean, Atleti outshot Osasuna 19-3. Osasuna didn't have a shot for the first 80-plus minutes. And for the second straight game, Oblak did not have to make a save. So he's been out here getting a really nice tan this week.
Talk about living in comfort, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, he's just working on those tan lines.
Yeah. Getting in an early holiday.
Yeah, so Atleti just rolling right along in La Liga. Sevilla play tomorrow at Mestalla against Valencia. Are you confident about third place?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, afford to take off the gas by any means, but the run we're on, I mean, 2 goals conceded in 7 games. And when you compare that to Sevilla, okay, they got a big win for them last weekend against Depor, but they've just been so dreadful from kind of February onwards, really. And it didn't take Atleti long to claw back the.
It really took only 4 weeks. They made up all that entire gap in just 4 games, because they won 4-2 against Depor last week, but even then they weren't that convincing. Yeah. Oops. Yeah, I gotta edit this. Yo.
Hiya.
Think I lost you there.
Whereabouts did you lose me?
We had just started talking about Sevilla, and either my connection or your connection kind of dipped out. It's no problem, though. I'm still recording, so.
Okay.
It's all good. What was I saying? You mentioned how confident you were that Atleti are going to retain third place. I'm starting to feel the same, because Sevilla won 4-2 against Deportivo last week, and even then they weren't very convincing. It was still a very back and forth kind of loose game, and it's almost like a Bielsa's team just loses its legs after February. Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah, exactly. And there's too much going on kind of on the outsides of the club.
With Sampaoli's future, you know, and Monchi.
Yeah, living. all of the rumors with the Argentinian FA getting in touch with Sampaoli. Then you have Monchi's departure. You have the banning of the ultras from the stadium as well.
Yeah.
So it's all just kind of a big mess at Sevilla at the moment, really.
In a way, it's sad, because earlier this season, you know, Sevilla were kind of the talk of the league. You know, they were playing such vibrant football, and it looked like they were building something. And then, kind of in Sevilla fashion, it's kind of fallen away.
Yeah. I personally think they peaked when they played that trio of games with Real Madrid back in January. I think that was when they hit their peak. And ever since then, it's kind of been a bit of a steady decline that kind of has just entered free fall in the past few weeks.
Yeah, in a way, it's been unfortunate, but, you know, not for Atletico, who are set to take advantage of this.
Yeah. And they have the head-to-head, too. Very ruthless, which is good to see. No silly dropped points like in past few seasons.
Nope. We just taking care of business. And especially today, when it was risky because of the rotations, and Simeone does not often rotate as much as he did today, but it worked out well. The 3-0 win over Osasuna, which is exactly what you should be doing. And Atletico have huge advantage in goal difference, the head-to-head advantage over Sevilla, so the only way Atletico don't get third is if they drop points between here and the end of the season, which they still might, but it's not likely Sevilla are going to be perfect. They still have to go to play Real Madrid.
Exactly. You just can't see the dropping of 3 points from Atleti and Sevilla being able to maintain a perfect record from now on in. We're more than likely to drop points between now and the end of the season, because there are some tricky games coming up, but we're still in a more ruthless kind of trajectory than Sevilla are at the moment. They really are just all over the place.
And considering Atletico's form the past, I'd say, 6 weeks or so, who knows when the points are going to be dropped. But yeah, it's unlikely Sevilla are perfect from here on out. So all signs looking up for Atletico in La Liga. And now let's shift our focus to the Champions League and the game that I'm going to be, you know, trying not to vomit over, but, you know, we had the quarterfinal second leg on Tuesday. Atletico, in Atletico fashion, have a very slim 1-0 lead that Antoine Griezmann got for them in the first leg. How are you feeling, Jack?
Very confident.
Are you?
I think I'm one of the few who aren't really too worried whatsoever. I mean, I personally think that the first leg is kind of just a stroll in the park. I can't really remember the last time a quarterfinal was so one-sided and so easy. I mean,
it was
only 1-0, but I think that was kind of conditioned by the fact that there was just no need to go out and score more or attempt to score more and then leave ourselves vulnerable at back, because we saw in the first opening, the first like 3 minutes, the pace that Vardy had from a long ball over the top. So there was no point in going all out to get a second goal when it was clear that we could kind of sit there, maintain possession, create a chance here or there, but give Leicester absolutely no chance at scoring an away goal.
Yeah, and that's...
I mean, the second half, Atleti played at a walking pace. For most of the second half, the majority of the players were walking.
Yeah, there's
not many times you can say that in a Champions League quarterfinal.
Yeah, I think Atletico really totally outclassed them in the first half. The second half, very few chances. I do think Leicester tightened up defensively. Their shape was better. They were able to pack the midfield more and cut off Griezmann's paths between the lines. But yeah, Atletico didn't really wanted to stay solid. The thing that they could not do over everything was concede. They could not concede, and they did keep another clean sheet. Leicester never even got close. I mean, it was staggering how messy their counterattack was and how they couldn't complete two, three, four passes in a row.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that you need to take away from this is just that they're so inexperienced
right
at this level of competition. And you could see from kickoff, really, that the nerves had already set in for the Leicester players, and they didn't really know what to do with themselves because they were just kind of completely overcome by the occasion. And when you compare that to Atleti, who have been here time and time again and are just not fazed, and they know what to do to get the job done, they're experienced, like we said earlier in the show, they're ruthless, it's going to be a really dull game.
Yeah. Probably.
But, well, I mean, I say it'll be dull, but if Leicester come out and actually attack, well, they need to come out and attack, but if they actually do and are able to successfully break us down a little bit, then it will make things interesting.
Yeah, I think there are two sides to that coin. Leicester coming out and attacking and feeding off the energy at King Power to get an early goal. I do like this narrative going around that the atmosphere is going to intimidate Atletico. We've played, okay, let's look at where we've played the past few years. Stamford Bridge, second leg of a semifinal. The Jay Stadium, Allianz Arena, Camp Nou, the Bernabeu. I know I'm missing a couple. All these stadiums Atletico have gone to and gotten creditable results in. We went to San Siro 3 years ago when Milan were actually good and won there. In that last 16 tie. So King Power, you know, Atleti haven't been to King Power before, but you know, I don't think that atmosphere will get to them, especially when you have a team that's played in, you know, Allianz Arena to get to a Champions League final, that's played at Stamford Bridge to get to a Champions League final, that plays at Camp Nou and the Bernabeu at least once every year, sometimes two or three times every year.
Right, and if anything, the only thing that's more baffling from that is the fact that quite large portions of the English media seem to think that Leicester have come away with a good result from the Calderon.
It's better than losing 2-0 or 3-0, which they could have and maybe should have, but they didn't score.
They failed to do the one thing that they, well, there were two things that they needed not to do. They could either choose to not concede or do everything in their power to score an away goal. And in the end, they did neither.
Exactly, they did neither.
So it was a complete failure.
If Atletico score, basically what this boils down to is if Atletico score on Tuesday, it's over. The tie is effectively over. Craig Shakespeare said this on Wednesday, that Leicester are going to attack more. They're going to try to create more chances. And that's great news for Atletico, because that's going to leave Leicester open at the back. Robert Huth is suspended. We don't know how healthy Wes Morgan is or is going to be. I know they drew with Crystal Palace today. Did he play?
I don't actually know if he played. You've caught me off guard, though.
Yeah, I caught myself off guard. Let me check real quickly to see if he played. In the meantime, I will keep talking while I look this up. But yeah, those are the two sides to that coin. Leicester are probably going to start really fast. There's a chance they may get an early goal.
He didn't play. He didn't make the matchday squad.
Okay, yeah. So it's still up in the air for whether he's going to be available on Tuesday. And if he's not available, I was talking to Shane Evans, who's the manager of SB Nation's Leicester blog, Foss Posse. Daniel Amarty, who's a midfielder by trade, he might be starting at center back.
Oh, the joys. That could be very fun.
You are just salivating right now. Yeah. Rubbing those hands together.
Well, I think Ndidi's played in defense a few times in his career before, so maybe he could slot into the back
Perhaps. He was really good last week, Ndidi.
Yeah, he is kind of one of the few that came away with a kind of creditable performance. I'd say him and Kasper Schmeichel were kind of the only two players that kind of gave a good account of themselves, really.
And that's going to have to change. You know, Atletico are not going to ring up 68% possession again. They're going to give the ball to Leicester more and dare them to break down a defense, which, you know, doesn't concede very many goals in Europe at all. And speaking to that, I went through last night in preparation for this. I went through last night and looked at all the knockout results away from the past four seasons. And based on those previous results, I'd say it's likely Atletico are going to concede on Tuesday. And I think they may not win, but then again, they don't have to. Atleti have conceded in 7 of their 9 knockout stage away days since 2014. They've won 3, they've drawn 2. The 2 games they didn't concede in was the one in Milan in 2014 and in Eindhoven last year. They beat Milan 1-0, they beat Chelsea 3-1, and they beat Bayer Leverkusen 4-2 this season. Those are the 3 away day wins. Now, a draw by any score sees Atletico through on aggregate, as does, of course, a win. And any one goal loss other than 1-0 will see Atleti into the semifinals. So as long as Atleti don't get battered, which I don't think they will, they should be through.
Yeah, I'd confidently say 90% through.
Yeah.
But then this is coming from a guy who really doesn't rate Leicester whatsoever. So I might be a little bit biased in that.
Yeah, I mean, I give him credit. I mean, they're tough. They are similar to Atletico, and that's made things a little tougher rather than playing against a team that dominates possession and plays a really expansive style. Leicester are like a mini Atletico, but that's just it. They're a mini Atletico, and Atletico are more talented and more experienced, and that should show through. That should shine through on Tuesday as Atleti look to make a third Champions League semifinal in 4 years. That's still incredible to say, considering where this club was 5 years ago.
Sometimes you need to pinch yourself.
It's still incredible, but that is trying not to think too far ahead. But Atleti should be rested. Leicester only made 2 changes today from their team on Wednesday. I think Okazaki didn't start, and I can't remember who the other Andy King started and Ojoa started. Those are the only 2 changes they made from their starting team on Wednesday. So Atleti should be fresher theoretically. They are going to have to travel, but they should be more rested and good to go.
Yeah, and it's just credit to the squad we have available. The Saul, okay, Koke was suspended, but you know Saul, Gabby, Felipe Luis was able to come off early today. Griezmann didn't play. They're all going to be fit and firing and ready.
And Gamero, too.
And hungry as well.
Gamero should be
good to go. And Gamero as well, yeah. So
I can imagine him scoring a goal on the counter in this game. I'd love to see it.
I wonder what the odds are, actually.
Yeah, I might want to check that. Put some money on it.
I reckon. Yeah. Leicester, they won't be ready for this. They'll just get outclassed once again. And The king power won't know what's hit it.
What's your scoreline prediction?
I'm going to go for a 2-0 Atleti win.
I'm going to go with... I'm going to go 1-1. Leicester are going to score early, but Atleti are going to limit the damage from there, and they're going to get an away goal and get the draw, and that'll be it. Hard to see Leicester breaking through 2, even 3 times. It's just hard to see it.
Yeah. I think, crazier things have happened, but it would really require a miracle.
Yeah. I think it's tough to see it, but stranger things have happened. Even in just in this Champions League alone, stranger things have happened. So we shall see. That's all kicking off Tuesday. I'm going to be a nervous wreck. You're not, but I will be nervous enough for the both of us.
Feel free.
I really want that trophy. Really want it.
Third time's lucky.
That's what they say. That's what I hear. Before we go, I do want to give a shout out to Thiago. Came back today, first appearance in 4 months.
Made his injury come back.
Yes, he did. Great to see him.
First time we've seen him since the horrendous Villarreal game back in December.
Yeah, when he got a phantom knee injury that kept him out for 4 months.
It was good to see him back. Yeah, very good to see him back.
Yep, and he looked pretty good, looked healthy, scampering about, and he comes back at the right time of the season as we get into the latter stages of the Champions League, and you know, La Liga just has 6 weeks to go, so really good time to recover him. And other than him, Augusto is still out. But I don't think
Thiago also didn't give the ball away, leading to a goal today. So you know, that's always an improvement.
Automatically an improvement there, yeah. Yeah, Augusto is still out. Versalco is still out. The latter should be back. I don't think he's going to play this week, but he should be back in the next week or two. Augusto probably is not going to come back this season, but getting Thiago back is good.
Yeah, we surprisingly have a very healthy squad at the moment.
Yep, so things continue on the up and up for Atletico. Jack, you are the Augusto of this podcast in the meantime.
Thank you very much.
You got anything you want to plug before we sign off?
Just give a plug to the Sound of La Liga podcast for kind of more broad Spanish football. Myself and a few others are over on there.
Yep, check out Sound of La Liga. You can follow Jack. You changed your handle recently.
Yeah, I did. I'm now at Jack_Benson1.
You are no longer La Liga Jack. That's a shame.
No, I felt it was time for a change.
It happens. I may change.
Come to an end.
I may be changing my handle soon too. So watch this space, as Ed Woodward would say.
Yeah, well, there you go. I've started a new trend of changing handles.
There you go. Yeah, you are the trendsetter,
Speaking
Mr. Benson.
Speaking of which, what's going to happen to the Into the Calderon handle?
That is a great question.
Season.
We actually haven't had any discussions about that, but we have to change it. You mean,
this is why I come on. I ask the questions that need to be asked.
You ask the difficult questions. You are a straight shooting journalist.
There's no hiding from me, man.
Yes, we will have to have. Hide. We'll have to ramp up those discussions, Jack. That is a great point.
I mean, into the stadium called Wanda doesn't really, you know, it doesn't really fit as well.
It doesn't have a ring to it. No, and a stadium called Wanda, that's just a boring name. Got to be more creative.
Yeah.
Yes, we will get right on that.
Good luck.
Thank you. In the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter at JBBaron, JBBERen. You can follow what is for now Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon on Twitter, and like us on Facebook as well. Got a lot of great content going up on both of those platforms. As regard to this podcast, you can find all new and archived editions of Culture Narrow Chat on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn. All right, well, I will be back midweek to talk about the Champions League. Letty and Leicester on Tuesday. We'll be back some point Tuesday or midweek. So we'll catch y'all then. Thanks for listening. Bye.